This is week six, about the seven times that Jesus said, I am something. And we have looked at things like when he said, I am the light of the world, I am the bread of life. And tonight we're going to look at something, and it may be one of the most famous things that Jesus ever said. Maybe you recognize tonight's. So all of these things work together to give us a deeper understanding of Jesus. He just didn't make them up at the last minute. They really work together to show us and help us understand who he was and what he did and how much he loves us. I want so tonight we're going to talk about, like I said, one of the most famous things that Jesus said. It's a very recognizable statement. And to talk about it, I want to talk a little bit about kind of what's happening in the story. We're going to be looking at some things in the middle of the book of John. John is in the New Testament, and it is the fourth book in the New Testament. That's John. It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He makes the statement in John 14, but I'd like to start in John 13 just to kind of give us some background. John 13 is the Last Supper. He is with the disciples, and they're at a table together, and I don't know if it happened exactly like that painting that lots of us probably have in our homes, but you can probably start to think of that painting in your mind, the Last Supper. He has been starting to tell them things that are going to happen, and the things that he's telling them are kind of hard for them to understand. Now, we can understand the things that he said pretty well because we can read the rest of the book of John, and we can kind of match up what he says with what happens. But don't forget, the disciples didn't have the rest of the book of John yet. And so, I don't know, maybe they didn't want to believe some of the things that he said, but it's hard for them to really understand or believe some of the things that he said. So in John 13, while they're at the table, Jesus says that one of the disciples, he said, one of you is going to betray me. One of you is going to sell me out to the enemy. So if you remember that story, it's a great story. They all look at each other wondering who would do that. And I personally think John figured it out based on how John says it. I think he figured out it was Judas. I don't know if any of the rest of them ever figured that out, but I'm pretty sure John did. And then there's a point that evening when Judas gets up and leaves. And then when Judas leaves the table, when he leaves that Last Supper, Jesus really starts to dive deeper with some really incredible teachings. He starts to give them a pretty intimate, incredible lesson. The first thing he says is he's going to give them a new commandment. He knows they know all the Ten Commandments, but he said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. This is at the end of John 13. He said, here it is. I want you to love each other, love one another. Now, that's not in the Ten Commandments, but he says, I'm going to give you a new one, love one another. And he said that that's so important and it's so powerful that that's how people are going to know that you love me, is by loving each other. And maybe one of them didn't like to speak publicly, or maybe they weren't very good at telling people about Jesus. He said, you could still be a great testimony. Just love each other, and that is a powerful force because it shows them who I am and how much you love me. And I would say that to you tonight. Maybe you aren't comfortable, and you would never get up on this stage in a million years, and that's okay. I mean, God made us all different. There are lots of things you can do that I would never do in a million years. But, you know, if we can just love each other, if we could work it out, then that is a powerful force. And Jesus said at the end of John 13, that's how people will know that we love Jesus, if we love each other. So it's a testimony. So then right at the end of that conversation, end of that chapter, Jesus said that to Peter, you, Peter, are going to deny me three times. And that was hard for Peter to hear. And Peter says, I'll go all the way with you, Jesus. And Jesus said, no, Peter, you will actually deny me. You will act like you don't know who I am three times tonight before the old rooster crows in the morning. And it happened like that. It happened just like Jesus said it would. Then in John 14, the chapters go right into each other. Jesus starts talking about heaven. He starts telling them about heaven. Judas is out of the room, and he starts telling them that he is about to go to a place and prepare a place for them. And he said, I'm going to tell you about this place. My Father's house is there. And in this place called heaven, there are many mansions. And no matter how bad it gets, always remember that there is this place called heaven that we'll go to someday. It's like he's doing it to give them hope because they're about to have some hard times. They're going to watch Jesus experience some very, very hard things. They're gonna experience tough things they've never had or never will after that. And Jesus, at that point, I think is giving them hope that no matter how rough it gets, there is a place, a beautiful place that he has prepared for them that they can be together some day. And I would tell you that the same thing, that life, it has rough spots. Amen. There are rough parts to life. And one thing that gives us hope is that Jesus has gone to heaven and he has personally prepared a place for us. And we don't know maybe a lot about it, but we know the most important things, that the Father is there. Jesus says, I will be there, and there are many mansions, and your loved ones will be there, and that gives us hope and strength and endurance to get through some of the things that I know we all have to get through. Thomas doesn't understand it. He can't really wrap his mind around what Jesus is saying, especially when Jesus says that he's going to go and then come back and take them with them. And so Thomas asks a question. I'm paraphrasing a lot of this, okay? Paraphrasing a lot. He said, Lord, we're not really sure where you are going. If you will just tell us where it is and how we get there, then we'll know how to get there. So he says, Lord, we aren't sure where you are going. We aren't sure where it is. How are we going to know the way? Now, can we just talk about Thomas for a second? Because that's an important question, what Thomas asked. It's a very, very important question because that's what most of us do. It's human nature. I don't blame Thomas too much for this question because I do the same thing, and maybe you do too. Thomas is basically asking, what can I do to get to heaven? Lord, if you will just tell me the way, show me the road, I'll know how to get there on my own. How can we get there on our own? Show me the path. Show me the road. What do I need to pack for the trip? How long is the road? show us the way so I can get there on my own. What time am I going to need to get up? How long will the journey take? He wants to know all these details so he can get to this place on his own. He's trying to figure out what he needs to do to get to the place. Or Thomas says, if we just knew where it was, you tell us where the road is. If we had more information, we can figure it out on our own. Look at John 14, 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? You tell us where it is, then we will know the way. So in response to this question, Jesus says one of the most famous things that he ever says, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Thomas, Jesus, said to Thomas and the disciples, I am that way. I am that road. Don't waste a lot of time, Thomas, figuring out how to get there on your own or the road or what, how to do it. You stay close to me because I am the way, Jesus said, the way, the truth, the life. No, you can't get to heaven where the Father is. No man cometh unto where the Father is. But by me, I'm the only way. I have to take you, Thomas. You can't get there on your own. You have to go with Jesus to this place, right? It's a famous statement. It's Jesus telling the disciples how to get to this special place where there are many mansions. The Father's house is there. They can't get there on their own. Jesus is the way. It's not like a road, like other places. Jesus is the way. There are lots of stories in the Bible about people trying to get to heaven on their own. So if you leave here tonight, I'm going to give you a short, simple, quick message about you can't get to heaven on your own. You need to go Jesus' way. He is the only way to heaven. You know, lots of people, as I said, have tried to get to this place on their own, kind of like Thomas was poking around about. Do you know that if you start in Genesis 1, and there are, I don't know, almost 1,200 chapters in the Bible, when you get to chapter 10, you know what you've got? You've got a group of people trying to get to heaven on their own. They had this idea, and this is back when the whole world spoke one language, the Bible says. They had this idea that if they could just build a tower and work together and cooperate and help each other, that their intent was to build a tower so tall that it would reach to heaven. And the Bible says later in that story that God saw what they were doing, and one of the ways that he messed up their plans was suddenly people started speaking different languages and they weren't able to cooperate and their plans fell flat. Now, there's a lot of takeaways from that story, but the main takeaway that I get from that story is you can't get to heaven on your own. You've got to get to heaven with God's way, God's way. You can't work hard enough. You can't be good enough. It can only be through the person of Jesus. That's what I get from that story. The tower, anybody know the name of that famous tower? The Tower of Babel. That's exactly right. They weren't able to finish the tower because God says he got personally involved in that situation. He caused them to speak different languages. He messed up their plans and their work, and they never finished the tower. You got to go to heaven God's way. Can't get there on your own. I want to show you a verse in Matthew chapter 19. This is a little bit of a different way. Matthew 19, 16. It says, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? What good thing can I do? Now, if you read about this guy, this young man came up to Jesus. He had a lot going for him. He was wealthy. He is young. He had influence. People wanted to know what he said. It doesn't say this, but I bet he was good looking, like that Tom Brady I talked about last week. He did a lot of things in his life that worked. He was successful. And so he's got a lot of confidence, and he goes up to ask Jesus, what good thing can I do so that I can live forever, so that I can go to heaven? Is there anything left I haven't done? I've done a lot of good things. What is the one thing I need to do to have eternal life? So he asks Jesus this. You see what he's doing? He is trying to get to heaven on his own. He's trying to do what he can do to get to heaven. It is like trying to find out what road, like Thomas did, or trying to build a tower big enough, like they did in Genesis 10. This guy's trying to do enough, be good enough to get to heaven. But after speaking with Jesus, it says that this rich young ruler went away very sad. He found out what so many others have found out. You can't find a magic road. You can't build a tall tower. You can't do enough good things because only Jesus is the way. Only Jesus is the way to heaven. If you want to get to the Father's house, where there are many mansions, you must know Jesus. Here's John 14:16 again. 14:6, I'm sorry. It says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. He's the only way. It is based on us accepting what Jesus did for us. That is how we find the way to heaven. It's through that person of Jesus. It's one of the great verses in the Bible, and it's maybe one of the most famous statements Jesus ever made. And they all these statements that Jesus made work together to show us who he was and what he did and how much he loves us. Just in a couple minutes, I want to take just a couple minutes here as we close, and I want to take three of these I am statements and show how they work together for our past, present, and future. I want to show that he just didn't say these and didn't make them up at the last minute, but they actually form a basis for how we can just trust everything to him. And I want to go back and look at a couple of the statements that he said and talk about the past, present, and future. Remember, I think it was week one or two, we talked about John 8:12, where Jesus said, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. For me, as I read that, I believe that's a verse that shows me I can trust my past to Jesus, because I had a dark past. Many of you have a past that is just dark, and we're not proud of it, and we couldn't work our way out of our past by ourselves, and I had to trust Jesus to bring light to my past. It was dark, and he brought light into my life and into my heart. He gave me hope that I didn't have. I couldn't forgive myself. I had a sin issue. I couldn't resolve it on my own. So I trusted Jesus, and he forgave me and brought light into my past. So that's how that I am statement, I believe, kind of syncs up with my past. Okay, then a couple weeks ago that we looked at when Jesus said he is the door, John 10, verse 9, he said, this is the chapter about when he was talking about being a shepherd and the sheep. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. When I read that verse, I believe that's something that Jesus has offered me right now. He has offered me a chance to have peace in my life. And no matter what comes at me, no matter the problems that I have to face, who is mad at me, all the things I will face tomorrow and next week and the years to come that I don't know about that make me nervous or frightened, Jesus tells me that he is the door into God's family. And based on that, I can go in and out like a sheep, and he will care for me, and I will find this peaceful pasture that isn't available anywhere else. He will give me a peace and a comfort and leadership and bring a sense of belonging to my life right now. So he offers to be active and wipe away my past with his light. And he is the door right now into God's family and will help me today manage my present and my life. And then tonight, take a look again at John 14:6. Jesus says to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And what he's talking about, he just said that I'm going to go to a place, my Father's mansion is there. There are many mansions there, and the context of this verse is heaven. So I'm based on this, the three I am statements, light, the door, and the way. Based on this verse, I am trusting my future to Jesus because he is the way to the Father. I'm not trusting anything else but him. I have no hope in anything that I've done or the times I've come on the stage. I don't put my hope in that. My hope for my future and my eternity is only based on what Jesus did and his mercy in my life. That's my only hope. It's Jesus. I was just listening today to one of the Psalms. It's 136 or something. I listened to a few of them. I went for a quick walk. And this is kind of one of the longer songs. And it has three dozen verses. But at the end of every verse, I listened to a guy read it. He would say, his mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. And he would say another statement, his mercy endureth forever. And I thought, you know, I love that because, I mean, I need to hear over and over again that his mercy really does endure forever. And that is just a comfort to me. His mercy endureth forever. And that is hope for me because if it doesn't, I would do something to mess it up. But God is rich in mercy, and it does endure forever. And so that's why I only trust. I'm not trusting anything I've ever done. I'm only trusting on what he did and that I've accepted his offer to pay for my past sins, manage my life right now so that I can find peace in all of the things that life throws me. And my eternity based on who Jesus is, what he did, and the fact that I have a relationship with him. Father, we love you. Thank you for Jesus, and thank you for all of the great things that you said, the ways that you would help us and love us and forgive us and give us peace, but also, Lord, that you have prepared a place for us and that there is a real place called heaven, and we can't get there on our own. We need you, and thank you, Lord, for your offer to live there with us someday forever. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the Esquire family. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to just be very clear and have a frank conversation about who you are in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, that's it. We'll see you next time at the Esquire.